We've spent some time talking about the goodness of God. And then we went from the series called The Goodness of God. A lot of times we just will flow from one series into another series. And I, you know what I mean? I wasn't planning this. I just want to talk about the goodness of God. But right away, we went from the goodness of God for me to recognize there's people that will be manifesting more of the goodness of God than other people. And the world will say, oh, they're so lucky. But what I recognize, it has nothing to do with luck. You know, the Bible says, don't be deceived. What's he saying? Don't think it's luck. Recognize it's not luck. Recognize that they are reaping more because they are sowing more. Does this make sense? And so I wanted to start to share with you things that you can start to sow in your life that are going to start to cause you to walk in greater blessings than you have ever done before. So we spent some time talking about binding and loosing, talking about declaring and decreeing something on this earth, talking about how powerful the tongue is. And we spent 2 weeks just talking about, and I hope you're not just living your life coincidentally, but I hope you're living your life purposely. I hope you are starting to decree and declare blessings that would come upon you and your children and your children's children. I hope that we'll see a scripture today that talks about that you only have a limited amount of time. And I hope you're redeeming that time to every day, you know what, just using the power that God has given you to start saying, hey, look, I can make a difference in my life. And to make a difference in my life, I have to understand that what Jesus said was not just generically, but God was speaking to me when he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That there's things that God wants to do, but he's really looking for you as the one on this earth that is going to say, you know what? I pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I pray that you, in those last two sermons that I preached, will start to understand your positioning on this earth as someone who had a father, that God puts you in dominion of this earth. And I know I'm swimming upstream on this because there's so many people on the internet that will just want you to think that you are not valuable, that you're not important, that you're not a component. You know what we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John? We see over and over and over and over again. You know what you see in the ministry of Jesus? God insisting to do ministry with you. Insisting. Amen. Who fed the 5,000? Jesus, who passed out the bread? Who walked on the water? Who else walked on the water? Who told Peter to walk on the water? Jesus did. Who raised Lazarus from the dead? Who rolled away the stone? Spirit didn't roll away the stone. What Bible are you reading? Amen. I don't know who said that, so don't rip on. I don't know who said that. Okay. Came from this section somewhere. I was just joking with you. Okay. Spirit didn't do that. No. The people did that. Jesus said, roll away the stone. The woman's like, the sister's like, I'm going to stink by now. Jesus didn't change his mind. He wants us to be part of ministry with him. We're on this earth. Pray that God's will be done. Who's he talking to? He's talking to people. Pray that God's will be done what? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay. So I hope you're catching that. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, so shall. You can make a difference in your life. It's one of my points here today again. But you can make a difference. But today I want to talk about complaining. Ooh, hoo, hoo. Ooh, ooh. Today I want to talk about complaining. I said today I want to talk about complaining. Today I want to talk about complaining. And I want to say this about complaining. And I'm going to talk about What I really want to talk about is the power of thanksgiving. And the harm of complaining. You show me somebody who's constantly thankful, I'll show you somebody who doesn't complain very much. You show me somebody who complains a lot, and I'll show you somebody who, you know what, isn't very thankful for stuff. Gratitude is a byproduct of a heart filled with joy. A heart filled of optimism. Okay? But I want to say something to you. I want everybody paying attention. All eyes up here for a minute. Stop taking notes. Stop looking in your Bible. Just all eyes up here for a minute, because I want to speak to you. The Holy Spirit, in preparing this sermon, said, tell the people there's two problems in the body of Christ. And when I say the body of Christ, I'm talking about the body of Christ, but I'm talking about right now just to the people who are here and people watching at home. Two major problems. One, you don't recognize how harmful complaining is to your life, to your kids' life, to your grandkids' life. You minimize the harm that you are causing in your complaining. If you recognized how harmful it was, what you're doing, you'd stop doing it. Does that make sense? But you minimize it, and so you continue to do it. Now, it's wreaking havoc in your life. It's wreaking havoc in your kids' life. It is a big problem. But you minimize the consequences, and so with that minimizing the consequences, you will keep on doing it, number one. Number two, you underestimate how powerful, in the negative sense, your complaining is, and the manifestations that kind of the havoc that it's going to happen. You don't connect the dots. You don't understand that your complaining eventually is going to cause all kinds of stuff, all kinds of chaos to happen in your life. And then that chaos, how many know we blame God for all kinds of things? You know what I mean? How many know that's true? Number two, you don't recognize how much you complain. Yeah, let's let that water soak in for a minute. Petra, who are you talking about? Whoa. Don't think I'm talking to the person sitting next to you. Just think about it for a second. You underestimate the not only the severity of your complaining, but you underestimate and you do not take into account how much you complain. Now, let me give you the standard of God. You know the standard of God? How much you should complain? Can I tell you God's standard? You ready? Ready? Here it is. Nothing. Let me. That's in the Bible. Here, I'm going to tell you. The Bible says, let no word proceed out of your mouth but that which is edifying to the hearer. No word. None. Zip, zero.
Pastor, it's impossible.
You know why you think it's impossible? Because you've listened to your goofball friends who don't rightfully divide the word of truth. You've listened to that goofball person on the internet that hasn't rightfully divided the word of truth. Amen. I like what Keith Green said once. He was at Azusa Pacific when he was alive, and he was ministering to thousands of people. And he said this: how many would say that you can not sin for a year? And when he said that, well, let me ask this, we don't have thousands, but you know what? Let me say to this group, like I said, the first group, how many believe that you could not sin for a year? How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I think I could not sin for a year. Thank you for your honesty. That's one. Don't bag on him because he's being honest. You just be honest with you, okay? Thank you, Jonathan. Okay. How many believe you could not sin for a month? Raise your hand if you think you could not sin for a month. And thank you. If you're in a month, then make sure you're in a week. And you know what I mean? So got it. Okay. How many think you could not sin in a month? In a month. Raise your hand real high. Come on. Come on. Be committed. Raise your hand if you think you could not sin for a month, okay? Raise your hand if you think you could not sin for a year, okay? No, I'm sorry. For a week. A week. I'm going the wrong direction. For a week. Come on. Let me see weekers. Come on. Okay. You think you could? Okay. Put your hands down. Okay. Let's keep on. How many think you could not sin for a day? Come here. Put your hands down. I'll make it easy. I'll make it Sunday. How many think you could not sin Sunday? For Sunday? One. Say, come on. I mean, 12 o'clock, you got this, right? Come on. No, I'm just saying. Be honest. Be honest. If you, be honest. Raise your hand if you could not sin for a day. You could go one day without sinning. Raise your hand real high. I want to see all over. See, now, no, guys, keep your hands up. I got to see this. They got to see this. Recognize more hands are down than are up.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Put your hands up. And the same thing. How many think you cannot sin? And this is the real carnal people. Ready? How many think you cannot sin for an hour? Raise your hand. An hour. Same thing happened over at Zeus the Pacific. He still couldn't get everybody to raise their hand. Here, blah, 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 blah. How many think you cannot sin for 10 minutes? Let's start now, okay? Raise your hand. You could, no, really. How many could say, Pastor, I could at least not sin for 10 minutes? Okay, all right. Got it? Are we together? And then here's what he said. So good. Here's what he said. So good. He said, if you couldn't get your hand up till 10 minutes, then here's what I want you to do. But if you could put your hand up at 10 minutes, he said, start living your life 10 minutes at a time. See, whatever you got your hand up, live that life in that amount. Because let me tell you what, for you 10-minute people, you know what? If you could just go 10 minutes, then that means, watch this. See, sometimes we just allow people that haven't rightfully divided the word of God to teach us falsely. Everybody got to sin. Okay, show me that in the word. Show it to me. You didn't get that from the word. You got that from some goofball who taught you that. And you didn't know the word, so you didn't know enough to how to combat what they said. Amen. Can you live your life? Let me see 10-minute people again. Okay? Can you live your life free from sin for 10 minutes? Okay, then just live 10 minutes at a time. You put 10 minutes and 10 minutes together, what do you got? You got 20 minutes of sinlessness. If you could live your life free from sin in 10 minutes, then you could live your life for the next 10 minutes free from sin. And you start putting that together and you start living a holy life. I'm not saying that that you won't sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the Bible says when you sin. Or the Bible says, doesn't say when you sin. It says if you sin. What is the Bible? How many know the Bible uses words on purpose? How many know the Bible is very theologically, very pinpointy? Doesn't say when you sin, it says if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Pastor, what are you saying? You don't never sin?
Hey, mind your own beeswax. Amen? Amen? I'm working on me. You work on you. Praise the Lord. But stop having a defeatist mentality before you ever get out of the gate. Because that's not our heritage. Our heritage is, he's holy, you know what? And we're to be holy. Amen. Be ye holy as God is holy. That's what the Bible says. And you might not get it perfect. You might not get it perfect today. But how many know God's mercy is new every morning? Amen. Get back up on the horse and start saying, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna do it today. I heard somebody this week, this is so good. He said, you know what, people that are successful, and I'm not talking, you know, he was talking in some kind of business success, and that's fine. I'm not talking about business success, but it rings true in business, or it rings true in sports. It also rings true in our life. How many want to be successful in your life? We're not talking about a world's goal of success. We're talking about a Bible definition of success. Man, you have peace and you have joy and you have comfort and you're making a difference in people's lives. That's what we're talking about. There's a quality, you know what I mean, in your life, and there's quality in your parenthood, and there's a quality in your manhood. There's a quality in your marriage. You're committed to your wife. You're committed to your husband. You're committed to your imperfect husband. You're committed to your imperfect wife. Amen? How many know, as couples, if we would just stop criticizing our spouses and would start to love them and encourage them and pray for them, that would do a lot better in the spiritual realm than anything else. Amen? Amen. All right, learn some. But how many know that's what God wants you to have? And that's a possibility. But we have Christians, I mean, right out of the, I listen to pastors who will just readily say, oh, you know what, everybody sins here. Everybody sins every day. I think, oh, that's weird. What verse did you get that out of? Here, let me tell you what verse they got that out of. No verse. They learned that from some stupid college professor that they had. Amen. Who hadn't rightfully divided the word of truth to them either. Amen. How many still glad you came? All right, so I'm going to talk about complaining, but I'm also going to talk about how important giving thanks is. Most people, they're either giving thanks or complaining. I said they're either giving thanks or complaining. How many, be honest, how many of you give some thanks sometimes? Come on, you just did. Oh, I saw you praising God. That was giving thanks. How many give thanks to God sometimes? You know what I mean? Here, raise your hand if you complain sometimes. Okay, so raise one hand if you give thanks, and raise the other hand if you complain. Okay, now, this is good. Come on, keep it. And say this, ay, ay, ay. See, why are you saying ay, ay, ay? Because James says, this ought not be. From the same mouth, from the same fountain, he says, shouldn't come bitter and sweet. So from our mouths should not come bitter and sweet. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me out with the song that we sang today. Promise keeper, that is who you are. That is who you are. And you get over to Target parking lot. Then you get over to the Target parking lot. No. Not our parking lot. In our parking lot, you still got your Holy Spirit on. Oh, no. Pastor George Lydia, go ahead. You go first. Right? You know what? 30 minutes later in Target, you're like, hey, man, that was my space. See, from the same mouth should not come bitter and sweet. That's what the Bible says. Now listen, if I step on your toes, recognize Tamara and I love you before we stepped on your toes, and Tamara loved and I love you after we step on your toes. Recognize Tamara and I love you because we're stepping on your toes. Do you understand? Paul said it like this. He said, do I not become your friend because I tell you the truth? See? Okay, so understand this. Let's go over a couple of scriptures real quick. Guys in the back, stay with me. Psalms chapter 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know why Christians always ought to give thanks to the Lord? Say always.
Always.
Say always.
Always.
Always ought to give thanks to the Lord. Here's why. For he is what?
Good.
Somebody cut you off in the Target parking lot. How many know that doesn't change the character of God one iota? Oh, you take that parking lot. Thank God. God is good to me. He's going to give me something. He's going to give me something. He's going to give me a better parking space than you got. See, you know what? Understand, you don't have a mouth problem. You got a heart problem.
Yeah.
You know what the Bible said? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, in context, can I give you context for that? The context is this. Well, let me give you another quote from that path, from that area, and then I'll give you context. He says, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. What's he saying? What's the tree represent? The tree represents your heart. The fruit represents your mouth. He says, you know what he's saying? He's saying, when your heart gets right, your mouth will get right. Here, raise your hand if you've ever complained this last month. Okay? Okay, now, don't keep your hand up. Come on. Now, if somebody's got their hand up next to you, you have permission. Tell them, you got a heart problem. See, the problem is the heart. Now, let me give you context. Are we all here? Man, I appreciate you because I know you're engaged, and I appreciate that. Stay engaged. Okay? The context is the Pharisees and Sadducees have just said Jesus is casting demons out, not by the Spirit of God, but by the Spirit of Beelzebub, by the devil. Thank you. Thank you. How many know that is evil? They're talking junk out of their mouth. And God says, you know why they're talking junk out of their mouth? It's in that context that he says, from the heart the mouth speaks. Okay, we got to get our heart right. Here, give thanks to the Lord for, why? For he is good. It's you know what? When you're complaining, you know what you're showing in your heart? You really don't trust in God. That's the issue. Complainers have a security problem. It's insecurity that causes you. It's, you know what it is? It's the spirit of fear. That God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Well, why do I have that spirit of fear? Because you take that on. How many still glad they're here today? Colossians, or go to, guys in the back, go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Up here on the screens, quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. See, then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Stay right here. Not as fools, but as wise. I'm going to teach you today how to be not a fool, but somebody who's wise. Wise people don't complain. I'll get to you in a minute. Next verse. Redeem the time. Remember I told you? Look at your neighbor and say, you only have so much time. Guys, you only have so much time. You cannot afford today to complain. Because your today is going to turn into whatever you say today, you're going to have tomorrow. Complaining is coming in agreement with what Satan says about you. Rejoicing, gratitude, thankfulness is agreeing with what God says about you. What I taught last week, homilegeo, you're saying what God says about you. That's someone who's not complaining. Because the days are evil. Next verse. Therefore, do not be, there it is again, what? Unwise, but understand what? The will of the Lord. Ooh, I'm going to teach you. It is not God. Well, I'll show it to you. What's the will of God? Somebody asked me, what's the will of God? Oh, good. I'm going to show it to you. Watch this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, and means emptiness, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God isn't a spirit of fear. It's a love, joy, sound mind. Be filled with the Spirit of God. What's that next word? Speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your what? Stay here. Why am I at Albertsons making melody in my heart? Why am I singing? I used to do this on purpose. Sing songs that were way out of my octave. I used to sing songs. You know what, Jazzy, you'll think this is because you know what a great voice I have. But I would on purpose sing songs. I'm being sarcastic. But I would sing songs on purpose out of tune. You know what? Whatever. My voice is what it is, but I can sing in tune. but I would sing songs on purpose way out of my key and way out of tune. Why? Because they're so depressed at work. They're like, Bible says, laughter doeth good like in medicine. If you leave me now, you take away the very heart. Addison, you take away the very heart of me. Ooh, baby, please don't go. Pastor, that's not melody in your heart. Oh, that's melody in my heart, man. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Doody doody doo. Would I hit the vote? Would I hit the note? Would I hit the note? I ain't hitting the note. Am I gonna try to hit the note? Yay, yay, yay. Listen, watch this. Singing and making melody in your heart, to the Lord. Watch this. Next verse. Giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks. Come on, help me preach this. Giving thanks. Always. Are you not too sure on this? Well, let's keep on reading. For how many things? All things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Colossians quickly. Colossians chapter 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which is also called in one body, and be what?
Thankful.
And be what?
Thankful.
Let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Here it is again, in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your what?
Heart
to the Lord. Are you learning something? Look at this next verse, 17. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving what? Giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Let's talk about complaining for a minute. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do most things without complaining, because we understand everybody has to sin sometimes. Is that what the Bible says? But that's what we hear taught to us. But the Bible doesn't have that standard. Look what it says. Do how many things? All things without complaining and disputing. All things without complaining and disputing. All things. Watch this next verse. All things without complaining and disputing, that you might become, oh, this is so good, blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse. Why they're perverse? Because they're complaining all the time, agreeing. Listen, we are different. From our mouths shouldn't come blessings and cursings. Brethren, talking about Christians, James says, this should not be. From us, we are not part of this perverse generation. We have a God that we trust. We have a God that we can put our faith in and rely on. We have a good God who's got promises to us. And what does he say to our promises? What is his response to all of his promises? Yay and amen. Amen. That's what God says about his promises. You know what? There's a crooked and perverse generation that you're not supposed to be part of. Among whom you, what?
Shine
as lights in the world. When I worked in the grocery store, you know what? And in the grocery store, let me tell you, probably like your work, bunch of complainers. Why? Because they don't have a God. How many know we got a God? Here, Christians, wake up. We have a God. We have promises. We have hope. We have every reason to be hopeful. We have every reason to be joyful. We have every reason to every moment of the day, you know what? Be happy. Amen? I love this song that we used to sing growing up. I'll sing it to you right now. Happy, 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 happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy, 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 happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Where does this happy feeling come from? Where does it come from? It comes from Jesus. Where does this happy feeling come from? It's happy coming. This happy feeling comes from Jesus every day. He more than pleases. That's where this happy feeling comes from. See, we need to get here, this deep. You know what we need to do? We need to get saved. Can somebody say amen to this? You're saying I'm not saved. Well, then act saved if you're saved. Amen. If you're all bad in a bag of chips, you're all fat in a bag of chips, and grab the bat and stand up. Stand up to the bat. Stand up to the plate. You know what? Come on. We got this. And the thing is if we're acting like the world acts, then how can we shine it to the world? Man, when I worked in the grocery store, you know what? I was in the grocery store, Newport Beach. There was a new manager came in. He was there just for like your husband knows. Everybody in the grocery store complains. They're just like, it's like bad drama city. And the grocery, it's all relative. But grocery store, pretty cool place to work. You're in air conditioning, you know, you get, you know, I mean, relatively, you know what I mean? But I was like, whatever, 20-something years old, I was getting paid pretty good money. Full benefits, you know what I mean? Air conditioning, break, all that. I mean, it's like, what do you complain? I was thinking, what are these stupid ladies complaining about? If you're a lady, don't get all upset. Don't write me a complaining letter. Why am I saying complain? Because there was a bunch of ladies in our grocery store that complained. And I would just get tired of their complaining. But I have no reason to complain. And one of the managers left, and he wrote a letter. And he said, you know what? He said, I will miss you all, especially Drew. Why did he say that? I'm just a part-time employee. I'm just 20-something. Here's why I said that. Because in all the grocery store, there was one person that was shining. Amen? And I had every reason to shine. Every reason to shine. And I'll say this, and you have every reason to shine too. You have every reason to shine. The fact that you haven't, you know what? That's your fault, and you're meditating on the wrong things. You know why you complain? I'm getting a little strong here, right? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, you can take it. Okay. You know why you complain? Because you're thinking on the wrong, you're meditating on the wrong stuff. That's why you complain. Are you learning something? Complaining is the language of fear. Complaining comes from a heart filled of doubt and unbelief. Complaining is coming in agreement with the demonic kingdom. Complaining will result in death, destruction, and misery. Complaining is the playground of the devil. Turn with me quickly to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found, what did they find? No water. Next verse. Now when they had come to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for it was bitter. Therefore they came to call it therefore the name was called Marah. Let me say this about complaining. Complaining is almost always reasonable. It's almost always reasonable. How many know why they were complaining? You're like, Pastor, what's your problem? They didn't have water. Of course they're going to complain. And see, you know what they've done? They've justified their complaining. That's what we do. We justify our complaining. Amen. You know what complaining will do? Watch this. Complaining, you're complaining because you have fear. But fear will almost always find information it needs to justify its existence. You'll find reasons why it justifies you to complain. And there's no justification for complaining. There's none. Listen to me. Yeah, but they were in lack. You need to pay attention. If you haven't paid attention to anything, pay attention to this. Lack is a construct of the demonic kingdom. How many saved? How many born again? Lack, how many know that's a fancy way to say lack is not real? It's a construct. It's a make-believe.
No, but the lack is real.
Okay. See, you know why you say that? Because it's such a stronghold in your life. That's why you're defensive to come against me that lack isn't real. Lack isn't real. Are you born again?
Yes.
Are you saved? Is your God called Jehovah? Does he reveal himself to you as Jehovah Jireh? Here, let me help you along. Ladies, how many have more than three pair of shoes? Come on! Ladies, how many have more than four outfits? Come on. Go home. You going to tell me? See, listen. I think I got it in my notes. Oh, do I have it? Come on, let me see. Oh, you're delusional. Praise God. What is delusion? Delusion is holding false beliefs or judgments upon external reality that help us demonstrate clear, indisputable evidence to the contrary. You're delusional. Go home and open your fridge and tell me about lack. Go home and go to your closet. Open the closet and tell me about lack. Here, for you spiritual people, let me prove it to you spiritually. David said this: I've been old and I've been young, and I haven't ever seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. You need another scripture on this? Let's go to Jesus. How many of Jesus is a good source? Let's go to Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, look at the birds. Do they worry about their next meal? If I care about the sparrow, how much more do I care about you, O you of little faith? This is not accurate. We've been deceived. We've been conned. We've been lied to. Let me tell you about complainers. Complainers, if they have 90%, they will see. If they have 50%, how many know glass half empty people will always see the glass half empty? They'll never see it half full. And those people, can I tell you about those people? Those people are complainers. And if you fill the glass up 10% more, so now it's what? 60-40. Will they think, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's 10% more full. Will they say that? No. They'll be watching the, what will they watch at? the 40%. And if you fill it up 10 more percent, you know what? Will they thank God that 70% full? No, because they're too busy looking at the 30% empty. That's what complaining will produce. Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me at home. Please listen to me. Don't bug out now. Take responsibility. I love you all. For the mess that you're making in your life. Complaining will create misery in your life. Because until we get to heaven, how many know it will not be 100%? And there will be weeks for complainers that 95% of everything goes smooth. And guess what they're going to find? They're going to find the 5%. The Israelites. The Israelites are, watch this. What are they complaining about in this text? What are they complaining about? Water.
Why are we so thirsty?
What has God just done for them? What did he just get through doing for them? Brought them out from slavery. You know what they're going to say? It was so much better when we had the meat and the bread. And it was so much better back then. That's what complainers always do. They always think the grass is greener on the other side. Always. When they were in the slavery, they were complaining that they had the meat and the bread. They're not saying, oh, it's so great, we're slaves, but at least we got a lot to eat. They're not saying that. They're complaining that they're slaves. Watch this. Then they get free, and now what are they complaining about? See, you know why complainers will always complain? Because it's not about their mouth, it's about their heart. And Jesus says, make the heart right and the fruit right, or make the heart bad and the fruit bad. Recognize. Hey, recognize. When you're complaining this week, you're going to say, no, you're not going to do it this week. I'll pray for you this week that you're not complaining. But if you complain this week, recognize the problem is you don't understand how amazing your God is. The trash coming out of your mouth is an indication of you under. It's not because God is a God of lack. It's because you won't accept him for being the God of abundance. It's not his problem, it's your problem. It's not his problem, it's your problem. It's not that God hasn't done for you good and good and good and good and good and good and good. That is not the problem. The problem is that you will not walk in faith and accept that this next thing he's going to take care of you again for. David was a great example in the positive. He said, God has took care of the lion, took care of the bear, and the Philistine's going to be the same way. Amen. You know the Bible says about these people? And let me warn you. God says, you know what? 10 times you have tested me. Watch this. I'm going to do this on purpose. God, you know what? They questioned the character of God, 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 and then God said, you will not fulfill what I desired for you to fulfill. That's the bad news. We're not at that point yet. In the text, I don't know where you're at. But in the text, we're not there yet. So in the text, can I tell you what's going to happen the next day? Here's what he says. Even though they're complaining, here's what he says. Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to see, read it when you get home. He says, you're going to see my glory. Tomorrow, you're going to see my glory. What does that mean? They're going to go out and they're going to see, oh, there's manna all over. That's the provision of God. You're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to see my glory. What is God saying? And when you do, I expect that there will be a reset in your life. Yes. I expect that you will reset and go, what David said, why so downcast, O my soul? Why am I thinking this way? Why am I speaking this way? Why am I acting this way? I just got to put my trust in God. God has shown himself to me so good. Are you learning something? We have an opportunity. Here, I said this first service, I'm going to say it to you. I believe that this week, God is going to show you his glory. He's going to, something going to do. And at that point in time, you know what God is saying to you? I love you. Stop complaining. Stop looking at me as the God of lack and start recognizing I am Jehovah Jireh to you. And I have always taken care of you and I always will take care of you. And you have no reason to complain. And you're complaining, you're going to be held accountable because I've called you to be a light in all these people. Show them how awesome I am. Amen. No. Very quickly, how many would raise their hand and say, oh my goodness, Pastor, you just preached for 35 minutes and you just were talking about, watch it, you were just talking about me. How many would raise your hand? Come on, I want to see it. Don't be frightened. Don't miss the opportunity to repent. Raise your hand, keep your hand up. Okay, put your hands down. Raise one hand if you say you give God praise. You know what? Okay. Raise the other hand if you've complained this last week. Now keep your hands up and do this. Go, oh! Keep both hands. Come on. Say, God, help me. See, you know why God needs to help us? Because the Bible says it shouldn't be that way. Okay. Here's the good news. You heard a great word today. And if you will apply it to your life. So here's what I did. You know what? We ran out the first service, so we went out and got a bunch more. You know what? I have cases and cases in the back of duct tape. Everyone go out. I want you, we're giving you a free whole roll of duct tape. Amen. This today. Okay. I mean, we don't got no duct tape for you. But I'm going to pray that you will start to be slow to speak, that you will start to have a revelation. Listen to me. That you will start to have a revelation of how destructive what you are really doing to not only your family, not only your kids, not only your grandkids, but to your really quality of life. And here's why I said prophetically, I believe you're going to be more optimistic than ever, because here's the thing. Raise your hand if you have Tourette's, okay? That's what I thought. See, you don't have Tourette's. What am I saying? I'm trying to be funny. Tourette's, if you don't know, Tourette's is where you can't control your mouth. You just say crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Here's the good news. Here's the good news. You know what? You can control your tongue. Every time you talk, you know what? Nobody's forcing you to talk. You say what you want to say. So be optimistic. Recognize your whole destiny can be changed today like that. God, if God is ministering to you, I want you to raise your hand. Father, thank you for the hands that are up. Help us not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Let me pray one more prayer for you. Father, pray that you would bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. May you be gracious to us. May we be slow to speak, quick to hear what God is saying. Bless this food to our bodies. Thank you for the hands that prepared it, and thank you for the hands that are going to serve it to us. May we be a grateful, thankful people every day, every week, every month, every minute of every day. For we have only reason to give God praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.